right, it's good to see everyone. Is anybody know anything about Amy? She's sick, doing okay?
She should be here.
Okay. Scott?
He's in
Knoxville. Okay. Tony Tipton, anybody know anything about Tony?
Tony's had some problems
with his back. Okay. All right. Gary, he's missing. Maybe he'll be here later. Well, Buddy is quarantining. He's having his surgery Wednesday. Let's remember him. He and Kathy, I think Kathy's going to have knee surgery at some point, knee replacement or something. Remember them. John and Becky, let's keep them in our prayer. Yeah, and their son, they're out of town. Their son is not doing well, so remember them. Joan will be back next week, I guess. Okay, all right. Be good to have her back. All right, I believe that's
Gina.
Yeah, Gina and Dwayne and Gina's sister. I couldn't hear her request from where I was. I could hear her cry. I could hear her sorrow. And I've been earnestly praying for her. God knows who she was talking about. But remember her if you would. All right, any others? All right. We're in the book of Galatians. And so if you would, turn to Psalms 100. Psalms 100. Very familiar to everyone. Now we're dealing with a verse that we said was the key to Galatians, to understanding Galatians. Someone give it to me is all I'm asking you to do. Don't want you to read it. Don't want you to look at a note. Just want you to look at me and tell me what the verse is. Nothing else, what verse it is. Chapter 1 and verse 6. Well, we got a 6 over here. That's good. Yeah. So quickly have done what? Removed yourself from him. Him. I mean, otherwise there'd be no reason for him to be amazed, would they? I mean, Paul wouldn't be shocked over anything else. I mean, if I come in here this morning and said, listen, I'm no longer believing in Christ for my salvation, I'm just going to try to do it by being a good person, you'd say, Tom, are you crazy? Have you lost your mind? Well, that's what he's saying to them. Oh, foolish Galatians, who bewitched you? I mean, you'd be sort of stupid, wouldn't you, honey? Well, no, there ain't no thinking to it. You'd be stupid. It's okay to say, yeah, I'd be stupid. You know. Because without him, what do you got? Without him, where would you be? And so Paul is just, man, he's just beside himself. He just can't understand it. And that's what Galatians is about. And you know, I'm going to say some things, and if you don't listen very carefully, you're going to run out of here and say, oh, God, Tom's lost his mind. He's went over the edge. But folks, I'm afraid that we, and I say we, I'm covering all of Christendom now. I'm covering our modern age of Christianity. I'm afraid that we are adding law to grace, and we're counting on it.
Amen.
Otherwise, bless God, there'd be as many here on Sunday night as they would on Sunday morning. You say, now, Tom, that's judgmental. No, I'm just telling you. You'll see it when I get done today, I hope. I hope. Make a joyful noise unto him. make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Serve the Lord with what? He didn't say serve the Lord so the Lord will bless you and give you things. He didn't say serve the Lord so that you'll be a better Christian and people will look at you and say, oh boy, aren't they a good Christian? No, he just said, first of all, he said, make a joyful noise to him and then serve him, but do it with gladness. And then what does he say? Well, where's his presence? I mean, where do we go to be in his presence? You name it, he's there. I mean, last time I checked, he's omnipresent. But you know what that means, don't you? He says, if you ascend into heaven, I'm there. If you ascend into hell, I'm there. Bless God, it doesn't matter where you're at. You know, we had a guy I used to work with. His name was Jim Purry. Les probably remember him. And he had this saying. He'd say, wherever you're at, there you are. Well, wherever you're at, there he is. So where should you be singing? Bless God everywhere you go. Everything you do ought to be towards him. Now, don't get me wrong. Listen, I honor this place. Been here, as far as I know, 30-some years. I don't know how long. Doesn't make any difference how long. And I love coming in here. But, honey, this ain't where God is. God's here because you're here. God came with you. Oh, don't get me wrong. He's inside this building. But God came with us. That's why he says where two or three are gathered together in my name, finish it. There I'll be in the midst. Why? Because bless God, I come with you. See, we don't, you know, I appreciate what Gene said whenever he said it Wednesday night, I think it was. You know, that he doesn't get carried away by the number. I appreciate that. But you know what? It's more encouraging to me when there's a number. It's discouraging to me when there's a small number. Not because the numbers matter. If he says one thing to you, does he say something different to me? So when he says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, is that for you? Is that for you? That's for me. Well, listen, if he says to come before his presence with singing, should we forsake coming together? And he says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Don't do like the others that think it ain't important. That's their way of doing it. Do it like I tell you. Why does he say to do it in that verse? Do you remember? What's the reason for not forsaking it? Don't you answer. I don't want the preachers to answer. They know it. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. What's the next part of that? Starts with an E. Encouraging one another. Honey, look, you don't care if I point at you because Amy's a teacher and she knows you have to get participation sometimes. I know what I'm about to say is true because I've seen your tears and I've heard you cry and I've seen you broken. Have you ever come through those doors, bless God, and you need some encouraging? I mean, you don't get it out in the world. I started to cuss. I almost cussed. I said, they don't give a about you. He says encouraging one another. Even more so as you see the day approaching. Listen, when the day gets here, your family's lost forever. There ought to be more here. The day's approaching. Do it more so, he said, not less so. But he's telling us how to do it. He says, know ye that the Lord, He is. We can't lose sight of that, folks. It's God that saved you. Can you not understand why Paul said, I don't understand this. I don't understand how you so quickly could remove yourself from Him, from God. You're not removing yourself from Liberty Fellowship Church. I don't care if you never come back here. I do care if you remove yourself from Him. Know ye not that the Lord is God? It is He that hath made us, not we ourselves. Listen, if you're a new creature in Christ Jesus this morning, who made you that? You didn't make yourself that. You didn't wake up one morning and say, well, I believe I'll just be a new creature today. I believe I'll just be in Christ today. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. None of us did. You know what all of us did that are in Christ today? Somebody tell me what all of us have in common that we did that are in Christ today. We had to come to the realization that we wasn't in Him, that we couldn't get in Him, unless, bless God, He showed us mercy and grace and put us in Him. Well, isn't that a reason to get in here and worship Him? Because without Him, you'd be outside Him. And if you're outside Him, bless God, you're lost. I don't care if you come to church every time a door is open. If you're outside Christ, well, if you're outside Christ, you probably ain't going to come every side the door. So every time the door's open, I'll get it right in a minute. Enter into His gates. Enter into His gates. How? Huh? What are you thanking Him for, Dwayne? What are you thanking Him for? What are you thanking Him for? What do you got to thank Him for?
For Him saving me.
For Him saving you, son. That's a good way to put it, Dwayne. So if everybody's saved that says they're saved, bless God, where are they? You say, Tom, don't be judgmental. I'm not being judgmental, folks. I'm trying to teach. I'll get to it. Don't you worry. I know it sounds crazy sometimes, but it all makes sense at the end. If He says, come into His gates with thanksgiving, and He just said, I've got to thank Him for saving me. Isn't that what we said? You can't save yourself, can you? Huh? So if you're saved, who gets the thanks? So He says, come in here and thank Him. Hey, look, what Gene said, it made so much sense to me Wednesday night, I hadn't got over it yet. Now, he used a different word, but same meaning. He said celebrate. Well, bless God, if you're saved, we ought to come in here celebrating it. Well, how do you celebrate? By giving Him the thanks. No, hey, don't come in here and celebrate, bless God, like you did. Well, let me ask you this. Do you think they celebrated in San Francisco when the Golden State Warriors won the NBA championship? Well, if we're saved this morning, we've won the eternal championship. Come into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with... Well, after you thank him, shouldn't you be praising him? Y'all know what it means to praise somebody, don't you? Huh? You ever praise your children? Yeah. When they do something right. You don't praise them when they do something wrong. You get on them when they do something wrong, don't you? But you, when Brady would do something little as a little boy, you'd say, oh, you did good, honey. Mama's proud of you. Right? Was there a parent in here that didn't do that? I've never been a parent. I don't know. Maybe you just slap them around all the time and never praise them. I don't know. I don't think so. But you only praised them when they did something right. When they only did something good. Well, let's see if that pans out. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be ye thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is... He don't ever do anything wrong, Gene. Everything he does, Dan, is good. Well, shouldn't we say, well, I'm proud of you, God. You're so worthy of my praise. I'd still be sitting at that red light, lost as a ball in high weeds, if you hadn't shown me mercy, if you hadn't given me grace, if you hadn't still loved me, if you hadn't died for me, if you hadn't raised for me, I'd be lost. Are we the only ones? I don't understand it. That's why it's disheartening. Not that the number matters. I'm sure it doesn't matter to our pastor. I'm sure it doesn't matter to Gene. It doesn't matter to me about numbers. It matters to me that people who say they know him, where are they? You remember the 10 that he healed, the 10 lepers? How many came back? How many did Jesus ask about? How many did he ask about? Did he say anything to the one? He said, where's the 9? Numbers didn't matter to him, except... Why aren't they coming back to give me thanks and praise? I did the same for them at you, but only you've come back. Where are they? But you let trouble come. You let trials come. You let them have to go to the hospital. Now, when I get better, you say, Tom, that's judgmental. No, that's law. That's trying, bless God, to say I'll do something when I get out that'll make me better. You can't add anything to make you better. Bless God, you're either better or you're not. And if you are, you got everything in the world to thank him for. Now, you say, well, Tom, what's the difference? Oh, I'll tell you. Turn to Romans. Romans chapter 7. eyes. Tommy asked Luke, no wonder it don't look right to you, son. I'm thinking, well, that don't look like what I read. I tell you, you can't do anything about stupid. Chapter 7, verse 12. Wherefore the law is... What does that tell you, Dwayne? It's from God. Because there's only one person that's holy. Wasn't that what Isaiah says? Holy, holy, holy. So if the law is holy, that tells you two things. Anybody want to guess what those two things are? The law is holy. So therefore, since the law is holy, therefore... First of all, it's of God. And second of all, you can't keep it. Now, why can't you keep it? Well, so why can't you keep it?
Because I'm unholy.
Now, there you see. Now you're starting to pick up what I'm putting down. See, we have to understand that before Christ comes in, you're unholy. And if you are unholy, you will never be in the presence of a holy God. Now, if you could keep the law, Dwayne, would you be holy? Huh? You would. If you could keep it to a jot and a tittle, if you could fulfill every part of it, you would be holy. Because you would have to be holy in order to keep a holy law. But we all know better than that. Because anybody ever, I go back to the children. I'll go to you, Becky. Because you've got one sitting right beside you. How old was she when she told the first lie? Let's don't get off track now. How old was she when she told the first lie? 5, 6, 7, 8? She lied before she knew what a lie was. See, they lie because they're afraid of you. But she also lied because she was depraved. She was depraved before she knew what depraved was. She was unholy before she even knew what holiness was. Folks, it's how we come in here. The day you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. So we know the law is holy. We know we're unholy. But the law was intended to show us that we are unholy. So he says, was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working in death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment by me may become exceeding. Listen, you can't just know that you are a sinner. You can't know that you sin. Bless God, you have to know that you're a woeful sinner and a woeful sinner. That your sin is so ugly. It's not mistakes. A mistake is putting down a 0 beside a 10 and leaving off the other 0 when you're talking about 100 on your taxes. That's a mistake. Mistakes are not sin. Sin is a transgression of the law that's holy. Well, you do realize, before you were saved, honey, you couldn't live a day without failing that law. You never lived a day. You never lived a second. You never lived a minute without breaking that law, because you were a transgressor. Remember, he called us what? Starts with an M. The second letter is A. The next letter is G. The next letter is O. The next letter is T. The next letter is S, and there are no more. Maggots. How many of you in here love a maggot? And I had someone say, where a maggot come from? She was wrong. A maggot is where? It's already in you. That's why if you die and laying out there on the sidewalk, about 4 days from now, they're going to be something all over you. And they didn't come up the sidewalk either, Dwayne. They're inside you. That's why the Bible says you're going to a place where the worm dieth not. If we don't understand who we are, we'll never come to God. We will always think that we can do good and be right. But what was Job's question? How then? Of a truth, he said, how then can a man be right with God? You can't. You're always going to be a maggot. So what do you got to thank God for? That you're no longer a maggot, but a child of God. What a transition. I mean, that is from the lowest to the highest. And who you got to thank for that? I know you don't like me looking at you, but who you got to thank for that? God himself. So he says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law. That is good. Now then it is no more I that do it. Well, who is it that's doing it? If it's not I, you know, it's Putin's fault. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth. Well, wait a minute. If it's not I, who's me? That's quite a conundrum, isn't it? I mean, if it's not you, who is it?
The flesh.
Well, if it's not the flesh, who is it?
The devil.
Y'all stay with me. For I know that in me, that is in my dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I? For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would do, that I? So all, what he's saying here is, he's trying to get you to understand that in the flesh, you don't have a chance of keeping that law. Because what you don't want to do, you'll do. And what you do want to do, you won't do. You say, well, Tom, then we don't have a chance. There you go. There you go. If you don't come to your red light, if you don't pull up there and say, God, I can't go any farther, you'll never come to him. And that's why Paul said, man, I can't figure this out. Why would you go back to something that you have no chance with and leave him that you have all the hope in? So he goes on down and he says, now if I do that I would not, It is no more I. But sin that, does that mean you're a sinner? Now, I didn't ask you that. I said, does that mean you're a sinner? Don't answer. I'll come over here, bless God. Does that mean you're a sinner? I'll come over here, bless God. Somebody will answer me. Does that mean you're a sinner?
No.
You better believe it. It's that flesh. And if you can't separate who you are from what you're walking around in, you'll never understand what God's done for you. You say, oh, well, Tom, then it doesn't matter what you do in the flesh, then it's all right because you're forgiven. No. Don't you dare run out here and say, I taught that. No. What it's saying is, don't ever try to add the law to Christ. Bless God, because the flesh is still with you and it's going to fail. And once it fails, you're done. If that's what you're counting on. You're always going to have that war, Jesse. You're always going to wonder, how in the world could I get angry like that? You're always going to wonder, Becky, how could I lie? You're always going to wonder, well, how could I hold that against someone? Because the flesh. I'm going to read it to you. Don't worry. It's in here. You say, Tom, what's all this about? It's about wondering how they could leave him. Why would you go back to someone or to something in keeping the law that you don't have the first chance of doing? So he says, here it is. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Listen, if you don't go through that war every day, you better check up on yourself. Now, I mean that. If a person can just go through the day and not be in that battle, they better check on themselves. Paul said, examine yourself that you be in the faith. Know you not that Christ dwelleth in you, except you be a reprobate. Listen, Christ ain't in anyone that ain't in that war. You, as a preacher friend of mine says, you do understand that, don't you? I love that saying. I'm going to steal it. I mean, I don't care. He can get me for plagiarizing. I don't care. And here it comes now. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this? I thank God. Coming to his gates with, to his courts with, I thank God, but don't stop there. Oh, the world would like for it to stop there. Trust me, the world would like for it, because then it's a religion and anyone can join it. But oh, he puts that disclaimer in there for a reason. How am I going to get delivered, Gene? He said, this wretched man that I am, that I just can't believe does some of the things he does. Who's going to deliver me? He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of, but with the, now did you notice how he just divided the two out? I thank God through Jesus Christ my Lord, that I myself do what? I serve the law of God. But in my flesh, the law of... So what's he saying, Dwayne? Well, here's what he's saying. Which one are you going to rely on? You're going to rely on Jesus Christ, who's fulfilled the law to a jot and a tittle, or are you going to depend on the flesh that's never done anything other than contrary to God? Well, let's see if that's true. Let's read on. It's here. It's here. I promise. You say, Tom, I thought it was in Galatians, not Romans. Oh, I'm teaching Galatians just as hard as I can. When we get there, you'll see. There is therefore. There is therefore. Now, bless God. If you're in Christ Jesus, I'm going to tell you right now, there's no condemnation to you. You're in no way, shape, form, or fashion condemned. Why? 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 Well, honey, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them. See how it qualifies it less? It's, the world would like to say there's no condemnation to anybody. God loves everybody. Oh, no. Hey, there's qualifiers here for a reason. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And then he even gives a definitive answer after that. Who walk not after the flesh. I'm going to tell you what, you walking after the flesh best, God, you better check up on yourself. You're trying to keep the law. You're trying to live in the flesh. You're trying to be good enough. But now we've already found out you're in the flesh, just like you're in the world. But he said, I'm not of the flesh anymore. It's not me, he says. It's the flesh. It's not me. I'm going to tell you something. If you don't understand that, you will either be without Christ or you will live a Christian life defeated, because you're always going to be trying to keep yourself up. The life I now live, the life I now live, somebody want to finish that? It's in Galatians. I covered it last week. The life I now live, I live by the faith of Jesus Christ, who gave himself for me. That's who's living for you. That's who's living in you. That's why you have the war. Because when you give in to the flesh, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit that's inside you says, whoa, whoa, that ain't you. And you know what you do, don't you? Oh, God, forgive me. I want to walk up right before you, Lord. I don't want to do that. And then you run here. Well, you say, Tom, why do you run there? That's why he says, get in it. Now, he says, you can't read upside down, Tommy. I don't even know where I'm at now. There is therefore, now, no condemnation to them that are in Christ, who walk not after flesh, but after spirit. For the law of the spirit of life is in Christ Jesus have made me. That's what Galatians is about. I think Gene mentioned Warren Wiersbe. The title of his book on Galatians is Be Free. Are you free this morning? If you're saved, are you free this morning? Yes, you're free from sin and death. But you're not free, bless God, to live in the flesh. You're free to live in the Spirit, who walk not after the flesh, It doesn't mean that you don't occasionally act in the flesh. Bless God, we're all guilty of that because it's the flesh. But if it's your life, better check up. Something's wrong. I'm just saying it. Now, for he says, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. So who paid the price in the flesh? So why are you trying to pay it? I mean, if you owed $100 and you didn't have $100 and you come to me and you said, Tom, I don't have $100 and I owe this $100. They're going to put me in jail if you don't give me $100. And I say, well, honey, let me go get it from Les and I'll give it to you. No, I reach in my pocket and I give you $100 and you go and pay the debt. And the next day you go into that place and say, I want to pay that $100 I owe. Well, no, you've already paid it. Why are you in here trying to pay something that you've already paid? But honey, we do that every day. If we try to live to ourselves, if we try to live in the flesh, we're trying to pay a debt that's already paid. No wonder he says, come into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with, he paid the debt. You're free. If I could quote a famous guy, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, free at last. I know what he's talking about. I know what I'm talking about. So he says this, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Us who walk not after the flesh, but after. Listen, all you have to do is examine yourself. Are you walking to the flesh or are you walking in the Spirit? It's that simple. It's not hard. Is Christ living through you, or are you trying to live Christ-like without him? See you next week.